This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hello and welcome to Entomode King's Meadow, the show that follows the magnificent Chelsea FC women's team. Now, Friday night saw the biggest game of the season thus far, 30,000 plus tickets sold, a shed in fill with Arsenal supporters, and a small matter of Emma Hayes' final WSL game at Stamford Bridge and final league match versus Jonas Eiderbell's Arsenal. The occasion was obviously all too much for Arsenal's kit manager, the visitors packing the wrong socks, left with no choice but to head to the Chelsea megastore and bulk buy 18 pairs of our away socks to avoid a kit clash. Kick-off was delayed by 30 minutes, but the new Stamford Bridge DJ kept the party going, handing over the decks to Lauren James, who danced through the Arsenal defence and fired a shot into the back of the net via the hand of Zinsberger in the Arsenal goal. Then the party really turned up a notch with Jerkan Liskin getting two of the easiest goals of her Chelsea career, the first guiding Erin Cuthbert's shot into the corner of the net, and the second striking her, and I quote, on the arsehole and into the net. A late Kim Little goal gave the visitors some brief hope, but the truth is Arsenal were never in this game. The win gives Chelsea a six-point advantage over their biggest rivals and maintained their status as the WSL league leaders. And the title of tonight's show is Went to Make His Meadow, episode number 126, Chelsea Sock It to the Gunners. There we go. Got some luck on my title last week and you weren't here to witness it, Dane. So expected some more for this one. Giving it away, obviously, I am your host, Dean, joined by Mr. Dane Whittle. Dane, good to see you.
Yeah, good. I like that one. Handed the decks over to Lauren James, who danced the way through the Arsenal defence. Very good. Very witty. Considering you just wrote that down like 30 seconds before you come on air. Very good.
Yeah, that's when all my best stuff happens, before the show. And then we record all the shit stuff. Now we're also joined by Mr. Simon Kingman. Simon, good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. Good to see you, Dane, as well. Yeah, just buzzing still, to be honest.
Yeah, Simon got the best tactical seat in the house. Top row of the, was it Matthew Harding end?
It was fantastic. It's good to be back up there as well, because I used to have my season ticket up there. So yeah, I remember reading a book by Terry Venables' autobiography, and he said that managers should sit behind the goal to watch the game unfold. It's brilliant. Yeah, brilliant view. Brilliant night.
Yeah, so you sit at the top to get the tactical view, and you sit at the front row at the bottom to give abuse to the Arsenal players, and that's exactly what Mr. Rich Bates did on the night, so I see that with my eyes. Rich, good to see you, mate.
Good to see you, Dean. I wouldn't say it was abuse, but, you know, when Katie McCabe came over to take the corners in the second half, I reminded her who she used to support. So,
yeah, it was good to see the Matthew Arden end giving it large. I did enjoy that from the East End. It was a bit more reserved where I was, but that's because we're just so close to Emma Hayes, I guess. Remember, you can listen to the show live. I would say every Tuesday, but it's actually Sunday right now. And it's 8:30, not 8. So just whenever we go live, if you sign up to Mixly, you get an email when we do. You can join in the show by posting on the chat page. We've got Buffer in the house already. So good to see you, Buffer. And I remember, if you are listening on the Went to Smokey's Meadow platform, to leave us a 5-star review, because it makes me look good. No reason other than that. Now, on the show tonight, in part one, we're going to look at all the action from that pulsating London derby. And in part two, we'll take a quick look ahead to the Ajax Champions League game this week. And we're going to do all that right after this. But let's give you all the information from this game then. Chelsea lining up in a 4-4-2 formation with Hannah Hampton goal. A back four of Yves Perisset, Jess Carter, Khadija Buchanan and Neve Charles. A midfield four of Johanna Britton-Cameron, Erin Cuthbert, Melanie Leupolz and Guru Wrighton. And up front was Asherka Nuskin supporting Lauren James. Emma Hayes making just two subs in the game. Ashley Lawrence on for an injured Neve Charles in the 70th minute. And Kat Macario on for a tiring Lauren James in the 83rd minute. That left Sachira Mucevic, Sophie Ingle, Frank Kirby Maika Hamano, Jovan Trankovic, and Aggie Beaver Jones as the only subs. Stats: Chelsea with 43% possession, 18 shots, 7 on target, 3 corners, and 13 fouls to Arsenal's 57% possession, 11 shots, 2 on target, 4 corners, and 9 fouls. But I suppose, Simon, we should start with the Sox. It's the big story of the game. I was obviously selling the fanzine outside. I got a message. It was really busy still, and it was like 5 to 7. Got a message from Nathan who said that the game was kickoff was delayed. Supporters stayed a bit longer, and he said kit clash. And I think to myself, was red versus blue. So what's gone on there? Turned out to be the Sox, and a bit of a farce, wasn't it?
It was unbelievable, wasn't it? We didn't really know what was going on. We knew it was delayed. The music was, I'm at a certain age now where that bomb bomb music is not for me. And it was getting a little bit, you know, just start the game. And Vicky was at home and she'd messaged us saying it's down to the Sox. And we couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. But it's just so humorous, isn't it?
I can see the side now.
Tweets and pictures and things like that today is brilliant, brilliant.
Yeah, Richard, I suppose it would have been very easy for Chelsea to say, OK, we'll put on our away socks, don't worry about it, no big deal. But actually, I admire the shit-assery to say, no, it's your fault. You go and buy 20 new pairs and help our profit in the megastore for the day.
I think they have to, because I think the kits are set ahead of time, and it's not like Arsenal don't know, you know. I mean, we've all of us have seen them come to the bridge or play at King's Meadow before, and they've always got the red ones. Sometimes even the red ones are, you know, for the season their main ones. So in my case, it was just I could just go back up to the concourse and get another drink. Like, cheers. I can't believe that happened to them, given how many times they've played us in the past. But it has generated so many incredibly funny things I've seen over the last. I mean, I'm still seeing stuff now. So, you know, with 48 hours on, I'm still seeing jokes about it. And I will, and I think we will for the rest of the season. I mean, in the Connie Cup final in 2 weeks' time, I'm planning to take some socks and just waving them around, you know, in the Chelsea end. And also encourage anyone else to do it as well, because, I mean, I think that would be incredibly funny of Chelsea and just waving a load of socks around.
Be sure they're 20% off as well online.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
off of the game,
they got a good deal.
Yeah, I mean, Dan, we've seen this in the men's game in the 90s. You know, Chelsea wearing a Coventry away kit at a game, obviously getting beat.
You would 3-1.
Think, yeah, this sort of thing wouldn't affect the players, but I think clearly it rattled Arsenal and messed up their preparation.
That would a DJ. Yeah, I suppose it does. You get into that mindset, don't you? No matter how professional you presume or you try and be, you know, you've geared yourself up all day. And they are using the word professional, going, they are so professional, they've been exact to the detail of them starting a game at that time. And for it to then to be put off, it's a case of going back and going out, sorting out things, warming down, warming up again. Yes, it's clearly we handled it okay. So we were still raring to go. But yeah, it did. I wouldn't like to use that as an excuse for Arsenal. Like the games against City, I'm always going into it quite tense. And we'll get on more about the performance later. But yeah, they never started, did they?
Yeah, well, let's talk about the DJ as well, because we had a bit of a discussion on our King Fenner Chronicle group about that. Some people not very happy with the DJ, others were. So I know you say the tunes are not for you, but I suppose you're not the target audience either. But I actually think that, you know, what the club are doing with the women's games and with the DJs and the light shows and everything like that is actually pretty good.
I thought it was really, really good. Yeah. And the facts, so didn't appreciate it at the time. It's only when we come back and, like, say Vicky had said it, but he obviously had to fill in that extra 20 minutes as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
And it's for that audience. I'd seen something on Facebook earlier on about the lights with the phones and things like that on whatever it was. And that is just encouraging the youngsters to come along. which is brilliant. It's not about people of our age, is it? It is about encouraging families and kids to come along to the games.
Yeah, I would say our age, you know, yours.
No, no.
Yeah, keeping the bridge out of that.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit maturer than you guys.
Exactly that. But Rich, as Simon said, it did help that gap that there was a DJ there with, you know, tunes to blast out and keep that atmosphere going. Because when I got in about 7:15, it was still pretty bumping in there and people up dancing and stuff. You know, it's not men's football, so it will be different. And I thought it was the best I've seen at the bridge.
Yeah, I thought it worked well because they did it for the first time in the Man United game, and I think it works really well with the Chelsea women, you know, in trying to build that bigger crowd at the bridge, because it did, you know, the party actually went on for another 30 minutes afterwards because of the delay, and you know, a lot of the songs that were being played were obviously catered for, you know, more, I guess, you know, a younger audience, but that really helps, you know. And the, you know, I thought the DJ, you know, played a blinder. Some of the tunes he put on were really good, so I was quite happy with it.
Yeah, Dane, I know you love a party. I know you wasn't there, but what's your thoughts on the DJ and what the club are doing in that respect?
Yeah, I'd like to see a set list. They you could sort of see him in the background and hear him to an extent in the background. They showed him briefly, but it was obviously just filling in the space with chatting about the game and all that. Yeah, I'm more for it. I experienced, obviously, you know, obviously many trips abroad to USA. So I've seen that side of it where they do make it about a fan experience. And I get it. I like it. It is funny when, if I'm watching like an MLS game and then I'll come back to like pre this lot, I'll come back to like a British game and it will be like quite moody, you know, quite intense, that different style, isn't it? But that's the style I've been used to 30 years of going to watch Chelsea play. But obviously over in MLS, you know, they try and, you know, walking up and down the aisles with like candy and chocolate and beer. So it's a different atmosphere, you know, and you know, if we score in like the first 10 minutes and you can get like 50% off Papa John's and giving away like T-shirts and all that. It's all about a fan experience. I had an experience in an NBA game as well where all my row won that current NBA Xbox or PlayStation game, which would have been a game that's like £40. So, you know, that is enjoyable for some. You know, I just gave the game to my son. So, but I think it's things like that does keep you entertained. So, it'll be hard, as I said, if you've been one way for a certain length of time watching Chelsea. You've got, and you know what, it's sexist, males don't really like change, don't like new, do they? We're all sort of stuck in our ways. But yeah, I think you can just go with the flow. I think it was good. They're trying, aren't they? That's the thing. They're trying to make it more of a like a celebration, more of a we're all in this together, rather than just come watch the football and sod off, pay your money and sod off.
Yeah, I suppose where Stamford Bridge games are still a bit of a commodity, you know, people are not sitting with the same people every time. There's so long between the games, you're not going to get that atmosphere of people singing Chelsea chants as such all the time. And I think the Matthew was probably the best place to be for that, but, you know, you weren't going to fill the stadium with Chelsea songs. And you had to drown out a shedding for the Arsenal supporters who were enjoying the day out at that point, I guess.
Yeah, they've got a good, massive, brilliant following, Arsenal, haven't they? They proved that with how much they sell out for their home games.
Yeah, we're a bit further back down the line than them.
Yeah, that's not such a bad thing. We can't all be, do you know what I mean? You know, we look at our average attendances in the men's compared to, you know, the other big teams. That's just the way it is, you know. It was all the same. We'll be freaking boring. We'll be supporting the same team, won't we?
Yeah, they came down the Fulham Road, about 30 of them, a bit like a mob. Which is more than the Arsenal men's supporters have ever done. I have a fair play to them. We'll get there, I suppose, in the end. Let's move back then to the team and to the lineup. And Simon, I was with actually your friend of the show, Sophie, at the time the lineup was announced, and she was very pleased that Jurgen Nuskin was in the team. But given the injuries we had, this sort of feels like the lineup to go to for these big games.
Yeah, we were really worried and nervous before the game, to be honest, having watched the press conference day before and the injuries. Yeah, it's probably our first choice team, wasn't it, really? I'd definitely play Eve every single week. She was fantastic. Hannah just oozed confidence, and some of those, I don't know, needless saves, but she made them, didn't she, look good, and she was throwing herself on the floor and skidding along on the wet surface. James was the only one we were really worried about, and I don't know whether that was Emma just playing my games with her, was it sickness, she said?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think we've worried that way really beforehand.
Yeah, I think that was a bit of a curveball for yeah. Jones at that long one, because she didn't look sick, although the youth might say she was sick on the night.
What, S-I-S-I-C? Sick.
I think it's still got a K on the end. But,
is it?
Yeah, she's just sick, isn't it? Spencer, question mark was whether this was going to be, you know, a 4-3-3, sort of flood the midfield. But it wasn't. It was the 4-4-2 that we've seen from Chelsea in these games. And it was, thankfully, the good one.
Who was that to?
To you, Rich, sorry.
Ah, sorry. Okay. Yeah, I think it was a little bit of a, like a little bit of a hybrid as well. Like Nushkin would be sort of dropping back, and then also Lauren would also be sort of dropping back into the midfield where it fancied her. And I don't think Arsenal, I don't think they really picked it up the entire game. Once the lineup dropped, I was much more confident going into it than I was beforehand. I did sort of say in the preview show that we'd done that it kind of depended on the lineup and who was available. When it came out, I was pretty happy with what I saw because, you know, we had enough people in the midfield area, enough people who do play in midfield to really sort of bolster it. And, you know, we've been losing that battle against Arsenal, you know, throughout the last three times I think we've played them. And yeah, you know, Kim Little had basically been running the show. Obviously, sort of said this in the preview for this game. But yeah, I was really happy with it. And we're going to go into the game, you know, a bit further on. But yeah, they just bossed it the whole way. It was really good setup.
Yeah, Dane, like Rich, you know, after that press conference, I was feeling a bit down about the game. Sort of predicting to people that I was going with that Arsenal might win this game because of the lack of players we had. But when that lineup did drop, you know, part of me did settle down a bit and think, actually, you know what, you know, this is a decent enough team, and if Lauren's on her form, we've got a good chance in this, so we can play our football the way we like to play. You know, as a stat say, 43% possession to 57, but we had, you know, 18 shots and 7 on target. You know, this sort of classic Emma Hayes Chelsea, isn't it?
Yeah, it was obviously a tactic to let Arsenal have the ball, but not let them actually do much with it. You know, they progressed from like defence to midfield, and then it sort of like stopped somewhere in between the midfield and forward line. You got confident when you heard the team news. Surprisingly, I got confident when I heard Jonas talk. Obviously, you wouldn't have seen this because you guys was at the game, and he talked about this friendship with Emma Hayes, which has come out of nowhere. I don't know if they're being sarcastic or there is actually like a genuine respect behind the scenes and off camera. You know, when they obviously meet up at these meetings or they go away for, you know, when they do things away, you know, for extra badges or things like that. And maybe they got on. I remember like Mourinho talking about that way about Wenger when he learned about the man and the brain. He actually started to like him. He said that how much he likes how if they have different styles and how Emma can change the tactics and like a formation and shifts like 3 or 4 times within the game if she sees something she doesn't like, where he takes a hell of a lot longer because he's like, we've worked on this all week for weeks. This is our tactic. So I tend to go.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Even if it might be looking like it's going wrong like once or twice, or we might go 1 or 2 nil down, I won't change it. And I just thought the different styles in that just all of a sudden gave me a lot of confidence in Emma and the team. And I just then, for some reason, just really fancied that we was going to do something tonight. That night.
Yeah, I think Ian Wright said something about Arsenal turning up to pay tribute to Emma Hayes.
It was brilliant for her. Too right as well.
In that sense. And maybe that's Jonas just didn't want to ruin his friendship with her. So let her have one last win.
Apparently it was quite sour afterwards, but I don't tend to listen because I don't want it to spoil the spectacle I had by then listening to someone like sour grapes afterwards. I don't know if that was true. You know, it's like watching Klopp afterwards, isn't it? You don't need to. If you've beaten them, then
that's the job done. A bit of a twat to the fourth official all going.
But even Emma predicted that, didn't she? She says he'd even admit he's like that. She said that in the press conference a day or two before the game. She says, she was like sort of like almost praising him and says, but he is a bit harsh to the fourth official. But she reckons he knows that.
Yeah, he definitely does. It plays up to it, I think. Simon, it was, I wouldn't say a dominant Chelsea performance, but Arsenal did have the first two chances of the game. But, the two shots they had, one from Kim Little, one from Steph Catley, were their only two shots on targets in the entire match. So, Chelsea sort of let Arsenal get into that, their shots out of the way, and then sort of took over, didn't they?
I did. It reminded me of one of those sort of classic Stamford Bridge European nights as well, mainly for the men's team, sort of the Barcelona game and things like that. It had that sort of feel about it. A must-win game, almost like a second leg, really. They were just magnificent, weren't they? Just in every single way, defending, attacking, like you guys had spoke about, Muzovic's passing, Hannah Hampton's passing out, Eve, Lauren was just strutting around, bullying them as well, barging them off the ball. We just oozed class.
Yeah, and Richard, one sort of, I'll go straight on to Lauren James because I think we need to, Stamford Bridge is her playground. Yeah, the top scorer at Stamford Bridge for men or women, games she's played. And when she's in that mood, the fresh hairstyle, absolutely unstoppable. And she plays up to it, absolutely.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact thing Emma said before in the... She had like an interview before the game, but she did reference that she got her hair done for it. That was her best game against Arsenal. I'd be fairly confident of saying they really struggled. I've kind of already mentioned this with Nuskin, but they Women Moyne, Williamson and the midfield, Voltaire, Little and Pullover in the first half, they never really got a grip of her. They had a much obviously better time of it in the game in December from their point of view. But yeah, they just really, really struggled to get close to her pretty much the entire game. And, she does what she does at Stamford Bridge. She runs the show and she scores. She was brilliant. I think maybe there might have been sort of questions before the last, few weeks about, Lauren in big matches. Well, she's just scored away at Manchester City a couple of weeks ago. And now she scored against Arsenal. So, that's a good place to start.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that woman, Moy, she played in front of me in the first half. She is dreadful. how she gets in that Arsenal team and the England squad, don't know. But Daniel, the goal, I suppose, is sort of that Lauren James reminds you of Eden Hazard, the way she can stop a ball and accelerate almost immediately. A little bit of good fortune in the way that the sort of spins into the net after Zinsberger makes a save, but you know, she's got to get that power in it to make that happen. And that's without mentioning the pass from Niskanen as well, which was fantastic to set her off. But you know, a great start to the game and a great finish from Lauren.
Yeah, she's amazing. You know, we had a king of Stamford Bridge and Aussie. Have we got a queen now? It's funny because I expected her to score that chance. I expected her to put it to the goalkeeper's right, like almost go across the goalie. So when it did eventually go in through the power, you know, I was elated. And yeah, like you said, she was just running the show, wasn't she? She was drifting into little pockets and spaces and they just couldn't keep up with her. Didn't know what to do, didn't know whether to come with her, like one of the defenders or one of the midfielders dropped with her. Then the fouls, little foul started to creep in when she drifted over to McCabe's side. That was another surprise. It took her 44, 41 minutes to get booked. And I think she's a good player, Kate McCabe. I think she would be an addition to it. I see why Emma was interested in her. You know, left wing, right wing, left back as well. She's impressive, but she's a player we like to hate. No, like those players that you would like to hate, but won't mind them in your team. But getting back to it, yeah, Lauren, it was just, yeah, she turns up for these games. She said probably got a new haircut knowing that she probably knew she was going to score. That's probably the arrogance and the cockiness. And I use arrogance in a good way, which you need to perform at the highest level. And yeah, outstanding. We needed her to be like that though, didn't we? You know, with the injuries we have up front, we really needed her to step up. You know, we've done so many of these shows in the past where we're talking about her and the talent's always been there. We're talking about she needs to add assists and goals and do this and that. And yes, that is, she's been doing that more regularly this season. And then, yeah, we needed her to be that big player for us, which she was.
Yeah, and she just exuded that confidence, didn't she, Simon? You know, every time she did something good, she would look to the bench and smile. She even squirted Emma Hayes in the face with a water bottle, which I thought takes some confidence to do that to your manager. But she had one player and get away with it, it's Lauren James. You know, she just had the Arsenal defence, you know, all game long. You know, they couldn't get the ball off her.
She's brilliant. There was it the first goal as well when she put that pass through to Royton? Just makes it look so easy.
Yeah,
right.
That's the second goal, yeah.
Second goal. Yeah, just unbelievable. I mean, we were sort of speaking about her when I read your tweet about squirting her with water. Whether things will change when Emma goes, she seems to have a really good relationship, isn't she? Almost sort of mother-daughter relationship. And I just hope that the next manager comes in and sort of nurtures her the way that Emma has. But it's just fantastic. I know we always say it, but how lucky are we that we get to watch her play every single week?
Yeah, let's not think too far. Let's enjoy the win first.
That's what.
Bring the mood down. Dave, you said you were confident when you heard Jonas talk. You know, and I was 100% sure we were going to win the game when the second goal went in, was been gliding. That shot home, you know, just in the right place at the right time. Leah Williamson caught napping, you know, kept her onside. Mm. Just that little bit that goes your way in these big games, you know it's going to be your night.
Yeah, Leah had a really, she struggled. I know she's had some few injuries in recent years and sometimes they take longer to get over. She was a shadow of her former self. You know, I rate her highly. I initially thought it was offside. So it was one of those like VAR cheers now, which we've all seemed to developed over the years where you're like, yeah, you know, let's wait and see. But they showed it quite soon and they all seemed to know. And it was, you know, you need a bit of luck. You know, if you're a big team going for all the trophies and you're still in contention to win it all, then you need a little luck. You can't always just do it on talent itself, you know, especially with the injuries we've had and the fitness issues. And it's nice to get some of the girls back from the Gold Cup. But yeah, you know, you ride your luck for a season. And I think, you know, it shined on us the other night. Not that we didn't deserve it, because our performance was, you know, I think I don't call it tweeted anymore, can we? I put it out on X that was as a demolition for a 3-1. Don't be fooled. That was a demolition. And it's funny because I was moaning about their goal and I had to think about our two goals, you know, their goal getting a deflection, but that's, you know, blue tinted glasses on. But yeah, as I said, I thought it was a demolition of a performance tactically and individually as well. Team, brilliant.
Yeah, and talking of luck, Rich, I mean, the third goal, I don't think you can get much luckier than that. Niskan benefiting from Cameron not being very good at shooting, because she tries to move out of the way. And then I can't quite believe that Emma said this in a press conference, but she has let herself go recently. It went in off her arsehole. Now, I thought arse was enough, but she went the whole way with arsehole. But when your luck's in, your luck's in.
Oh, I could completely believe Emma said that. She goes on about Star Wars in her press conferences. You know, she talks about all sorts. I mean, they were... I'd say that goal was really created by JRK because she intercepts a Williamson Crossfield pass. It was just bad. But JRK was really, really good all game. I mean, even in the build-up to the second goal... I know Guru clips a ball in and like the Arsenal defenders, they were all static, but she, you know, she wasn't waiting around. She was the one who retrieved the ball. We then laid it off to Erin, and Erin's shot obviously went through the crowd and then Niskan put it in. But JRK was, you know, she was on it. She was great. And I don't know, I haven't seen another angle of it, but I thought JRK's shot was going in the corner anyway. before it came off Niskan and you know, clinical finish. I think we kind of earned that luck in this game, because, and especially Hannah, I mean, we can call it an assist, I guess. But no, she was at it. I mean, they all were, but you know, she evidenced that with in at least two of the goals.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Cameron in a bit because she didn't make the player of the match poll, and I want to talk about why. But yeah, we'll take all the luck we get whenever we get it. And so I'm going to double back to Niskan. You know, two goals in this game and an assist. Played centre back recently for two games, two huge games. Played magnificently there. Then moved to the other end of the pitch again. Excellent. You know, she's sort of becoming the ultimate Emma Hayes sort of utility player. She could pick her up and put her anywhere in this team, and she performs.
She can. I think she could play anywhere. Anywhere. She was, it looked like they were swapping as well for a little bit, from my tactical view, obviously, with Lauren sort of playing up top a bit. But I'm convinced she could play in goal if she wanted to as well and still keep a clean sheet. What a find she was.
Yeah, another player that didn't make the player of the match poll, but again, I think you could have put the whole team in there, to be fair. Yeah, I'll give my reasons as to why I picked the four players that I did for the game. But Dave, I'm going to come to you and talk about Arsenal, so now you love them so much. But, you know, why do you think they're so weird? You know, they destroyed us at the Emirates, they destroyed us in the Cup final, and then other times we absolutely just walk all over them, like the other FA Cup final that we won. This match, the one at King's Meadow when Sam Kerr was jet-lagged. They're just a weird team. Is it just because they got a weird manager?
He almost wrote his own script by sliding onto the field, didn't he, when they beat us in his first game when we had players that had only been like training for like a week and a half and we lost 3-2. And then since then, it's been a very hate... one-sided, one-way relationship. It is weird, isn't it? Does he try to be too tactical, too smart? He's a young manager, so he's got so much to learn still. But, you know, is it the aura, intensity of facing Emma? You know, he seems to an extent, get it right when we played him away. Even though when the last few times, I think we started to really come... what's the home ground? Is it Barnet's? It's not Barnet Stadium. Was it
Bournemouth?
Yeah, Bournemouth, well, we even started to do really well there, didn't we, before our games with them have now shifted to the men's home stadium. It's a hard one to think. It's just maybe, you know, we seem to have the home luck. They seem to have their home luck.
Yeah, I mean, Rich, when he was done the Euros, he done it for BBC, I actually really liked listening to him. I thought he was very, you know, entertaining on the mic and had some great insight into the game, as you expect a first team manager would. But yeah, I'm enjoying them being so, you know, shit in these games against us, basically.
I mean, it is interesting. Like, after one of them has a, a big defeat, like we did in the Conti Cup, the next time around, the other one, you know, going from the Conti Cup onwards, it seems like the next time around, the other one kind of works out something or finds something that they bring into the next game. And, you know, in Arsenal's case, at the Conti Cup final, was that. And then in the next game we played, which was obviously the penultimate game of the season, we beat them 2-0 at King's Meadow. And then at the start of this season, in December, I should say, they really, really exploited the fact that we were playing really sort of aggressively and, fairly. I'm trying to remember the sort of the word that I keep using, cavalier. We were playing sort of very cavalier at the start of the season, and they exploited really well with runners in behind. And it just seems like just a general thing that we were just going to stop that from happening in this game. And they've had problems against teams that, you know, are sort of well-organised and kind of sit in a deeper block. It's been sort of shown a few times. Like, I think it's what Liverpool did at the start of the season to them. I think when Manchester City beat them in Meadow Park, Manchester City were a lot less, you know, aggressive sort of coming forward. And they even showed that when they played us at King's Meadow. I do think the Conti Cup final in a couple of weeks, it will be a closer game because I think Jonas will again sort of adjust, to what we did. And it seems to be like a chess match, and, you know, the last bit of this chess match is going to happen in a couple of weeks' time, or at least for the foreseeable future of Emma, obviously, going to the US. They just seem to sort of go to and fro between each other, at least in the last sort of three or four meetings we've had with them.
Yeah, it's been probably the best management rivalry of sort of Emma Hayes's career that I've witnessed as well. You know, against Skinner, it's so one-sided, and against Taylor as well. I suppose I know that City have had the better of us a couple of times, but. Again, in the big occasions, you know, Emma comes out on top as always, and I think he's going to miss Emma Hayes, Jonas. I think it's a challenge for him that he enjoys, and like you said, the Conti Cup will be a closer game, and we'll talk about that as well, I suppose, in a bit. But Simon, I suppose that second half, you know, the chances that we had to really, you know, kill them. Remember when Mourinho's Chelsea beat Arsenal 6-0, Wenger's 1,000th game. You know, we had those chances. It's a bit frustrating, and we didn't take them in the second half. Especially, they were sort of easier than the goals we scored.
Yeah, it was a weird second half. Almost boring, in a way, after seeing all those goals come in. Was it JRK sort of hit one, didn't she? And hit it at the keeper, I suppose, rather than the keeper saving it. Lauren had that chance, didn't she? I was really willing her to score that, because they were really booing her, weren't they, at that point? Just picture the knees slide in front of their fans, cupping her ears. Played more defensive, I suppose, didn't we? And showed that side of it, but job was done first half. 3 points in the bag, 3 goals. Yeah, I like it with the little teams as well at Stamford Bridge. It was always the same, wasn't it? Like men's cup games and things. You see a lower league team score a goal and see all their fans cheer. Almost glad that they did score, just to give their fans that little, you know, it was worth making the trip.
It's hard to be too critical when you know, the game was dead and buried, I suppose, at 3-0. It would have been nice to have, you know, it should have been sort of 5-0, I suppose, with those two chances from Lauren and JRK. But, you know, probably even more frustrating that we conceded at the end So it was 3-1. We didn't keep that clean sheet and sort of a perfect game. But, you know, it took a huge deflection and maybe not a lot we could have done about it.
Yeah, at the time, I wanted to smash them. They had chances that you should be scoring from. I don't know if Lauren tried to do it with the eyes and thought it was too obvious to go to the other way, so tried to sneak it in the inside. And the other one was, I think she did everything right. Was it Canridge with the other one?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she just tried to dink it, didn't she? Which you if she had done something else, you would have been screaming, or I would have been screaming, you should have dinked it. And I suppose you've got to look at, you know, it's practically the business end of the season. I would have taken any victory to get those 3 points. So, you know, we can obviously discuss things and talk about their goal, which I don't think they deserved. And we can talk about the chances we missed. I think overall it was based on good chances. If we take their goal, it was probably about a 5 or 6-1 game to us. But at the end of the day, that's not that important to me. 3 points, we've got one over Arsenal. I don't think it would dent them too much because, like it was mentioned, you know, it is a sort of bit of a up and down with them. So you'll be sort of like worried of his homework he'd be doing for the Conti Cup final. But, you know, let's live in this moment and enjoy the victory, which, you know, as I said, business end of season, these points stack up and, you know, we're going for so much. And it just gives us a nice little big cushion in between us and Arsenal and just probably puts them out of it now.
Yeah, 6 points with 6 games to go. Only Man United, sort of the big three to face. You would expect that we've at least finished second in the league, at least at this stage. And I'll move on to some key performers, Rich. And I suppose there's no better place to start than Yves Perisset, who was absolutely faultless, in my opinion. Caitlin Ford, invisible. And then Beth Mead went the other side. And that tackle where she sent her flying, she just literally stopped her dead in her tracks, was the moment of the game for me. And she has been, for me, the player of the moment.
Yeah, I'm going to give away who I thought was player of the match right now. It's Eve. Yeah, she was absolutely fantastic. And told you she should play. Said it on the preview, she should play. And yeah, she'd learned from the first game, or like the entire team had learned from the first game about giving Arsenal space in behind. And, you know, it really frustrated Ford. I know there was a bit early in the second half where, you know, after I think Eve gave away a foul, Ford decided to basically push her. Like after the board, you know, after the foul had already been given. So, you know, she knew she was in a tough game. And that Beth Mead clip, that's one of the moments of the season, just to, you know, see the ball just like stop and her like flying flying through the air. Fantastic. And also going forward as well, she had I think in the second half, the chance where I think it was the first JLK chance where, you know, I think Dane said about, you know, she went to clip it over the keeper. I think that sort of starts from a long ball from Hannah, whose distribution was also fantastic in this game. A long ball out to the right hand side. I think she then sort of plays into Nushkin, and then Nushkin like puts a lovely sort of slide rule pass into JLK. But yeah, she was also involved in the attacking part of this game as well. Yeah, she was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, Simon, she's come in, you know, last season she ended it, you know, pretty strongly. And then Emma Byers, Ashley Lawrence, and you're wondering, you know, is she going to play much minutes? And then while Ashley's been away at the Gold Cup, she's come into this team and sort of a bit like Gusto for the men's team, you know, taking that position away from Reece James. And I think she's taken this position away from Ashley Lawrence. She's been absolutely superb. And this was one of her best performances at Chelsea ever.
Yeah. Fantastic. She's a big favourite in the Kingman house. And she was immense. Like Rich said, she was just every single time Caitlin Ford or Beth Mead got the ball, you knew there was only going to be one outcome. And that was Eve winning the ball. Just brilliant. Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think for a long while, our number one right back as well, Ashley Lawrence was playing well when she came in. But yeah, definitely Eve. One of the first names on the team sheet.
Yeah, well, if I was doing it, it'd be the second, because goalkeeper goes first.
Then yeah, goalkeeper.
Technically speaking. the next player on my list is Kenichi Buchanan, who came in, obviously, on the back of the Gold Cup. Nathalie Björn out injured, so straight into the team here. And again, you look at Laxinius, who started the game, and Rissou came on, you know, no shots on target. And I thought she really, you know, stood out in the defence for me, just ahead of Jess, who played well as well. But coming in sort of on the back of being away for so long, she looked like she'd been in the team for weeks.
Yeah, yeah. She's got a calmness to her, which does, you know, play with my emotions a bit. You think, oh, God, she's going to give the freaking ball away. Almost, I said when we first signed her after a few games, I said to Thiago Silva about her, very calm, likes to stride out from the back and you know, spread it left or spread it right. And again, she looks so calm on the ball. Sometimes I thought, that's a bit tight there. And she just got away with it, just with her composure. Very impressed with her. Very impressed how she handled the forwards. And you're right, after having, you know, after being away for so long, well, for being away, it's a tough time of the season, isn't it, to go away and play in a tournament, you know, across the pond, and then come back into this business end of the season. So, you know, good on her. I thought she had an outstanding game. And we talk about Lawrence as well. We just talked about Perisay. Perisay has this knack, almost like the Makaleli style of just seeing the ball, and especially against Arsenal, something like all come to one. Casado's starting to do it in men's recently as well. He's getting really better at it, where he just sees the ball and he like gets the ball and makes a really good tackle. And it just all come together for her this game. You need a big squad. I know some people like to think about, oh, they've cemented a place and this and that, but it'd be up and down for the season, won't it? We saw Lawrence as the, you know, playing quite regularly, and Perisay would be on the bench. Then we saw Perisay having a bit of a stint at left back, and you know, rightly so, she should be number one choice until her performances drop.
Yeah, I mean, Rich, I don't think that Chelsea supporters on the whole have given Buchanan, you know, her flowers, so to speak. You know, I think she's not as highly rated as perhaps she should be, and what she can do with the ball at her feet, I think, puts her, in my opinion, sort of when all the centre backs are fit, sort of towards the top of two. And if she can partner her with someone like Nathalie Björn, who can play that longer ball probably a bit better than she can, you know, I think that would make a great partnership. And it's selection headaches for Emma, isn't it, when everyone's fit?
I think she just likes playing in the big games, like the really big games. She does, you know, she has performed well, at least the ones that sort of that I can remember. I think it's more in the games, you know, when we play, you know, sort of teams towards the bottom of the league at home, where, you know, you start to get the sort of the lackadaisical stuff, or, you know, someone sort of running in for on goal and that, you know, that sort of thing happens when, you know, when she's been in the team. But I just think she seems to prefer the bigger games, and, you know, she is a calming, she, you know, she is a calming presence on the ball from the back. Yeah, it's interesting what we're going to do sort of going forward to set her back towards the end of the season, because obviously we're waiting for Millie to come back. Nathalie Björn's out for a couple of weeks, and I guess a lot of people would probably expect that, you know, Brighton Björn would eventually become the centre-back partnership potentially. And then you could have, you know, Jess could actually, in some games, actually fill in for Neve at left-back when we need to give Neve a rest. So, but yeah, no, I do think Buchanan, she does like the big games. I do think she played well in the Champions League last season, from what I remember. I just think she wants the big occasion. She likes, you know, when the lights are brightest, she seems to play well.
Yeah, as David says on Mixed, you know, she likes the way she takes the ball out of defence and sets up the attack, and, you know, the way sometimes Chelsea play with that midfield, or play without the midfield, so to speak, you know, that is needed in the team. And I've always really liked, as you say, big game player. And we've got a lot of big games coming up. So I think we're going to see her. And whether Emma Hayes does her Tony Pulis, plays all four centre-backs in one game, we'll wait and see. But she could do. Now, Perisay and Buchanan, Simon, they're the first two names on the Player of the Match poll. The third was Lauren James that we spoke about. Obviously, we've mentioned Niskan already as well. The full spot I gave to Erin Cuthbert, and the reason for that is, as Rich mentioned earlier, we go into these games against Arsenal, we watch Kim Little absolutely run the show the whole game. She's on the ball. She's doing this, doing that. And I thought Kim Little, apart from obviously scoring the goal via deflection, was pretty quiet in this game. And I think that really helped us. And a lot of that was the work that Erin did with her tackling.
She was, yeah, little enforcer, trying to stop them. Attacking as well, she played well. Yeah, agree with that. Didn't get my vote, strangely enough.
No, not many people did vote for Erin. Give a bit of a giveaway there, but that's why she was in there. And Rich, I suppose you probably would have given the full spot to Camrid. And for me, the reason I left her out of this, I just want more of an end product from her. And there's a moment in the first half where she sort of pulled out of a challenge with Zinsberger. I think she could have got to the ball. This chance she missed in the second half. I just feel like she gets in that position all the time. She's got the pace, and then it sort of just doesn't work out, doesn't materialise. And maybe I'm being a bit harsh on her because I thought she was fantastic. She would have been the fifth choice if there was one ahead of Nuskin. But you know, that's why I left her out. Because a lot of people replied to me and said, you know, where's Camrid?
I do understand what you mean, because she does get into good shooting positions and her finishing isn't the best. But in terms of assists this season, I think goals and assists combined, she's like third for us in all competitions. She's had a really sort of consistent season. And, you know, this is obviously, we always sort of talk about when players come into the environment for the first time. The first year seems to be sort of a settling period, and then you see the best, or you know, they start to get towards the better form from the second year onwards. And I think JLK has made a massive step forward, and I thought she was really good. I don't actually remember the particular incident you're referring to as Zinsberger. I did have a few beers on Friday night, There was so much of that when she was obviously playing down the side up, because I was at the bottom left-hand corner of the Matthew Hardy end. There was so much that she was doing good in the first half that obviously that was sort of when she was sort of coming down my side that I liked. I think the ball went skyward. She sort of brings it down perfectly and then but beats a couple of people, and I think, you know, puts in a pretty good either cross or pass afterwards to a teammate. I get what you mean with regards to sort of end product in terms of shooting, but I mean, I've been really impressed with her. You know, if she does get that shooting aspect of her game going, then, you know, then we've really got something. And, you know, she just continues to practice in the finishing. She's taking more shots on the left foot because, you know, she takes that shot on the left foot, which goes in off Nuskin, which, you know, I said earlier, I'd need to see a different angle to know if it was definitely going in or not, or going on target. But to me, I thought it was. She feels more comfortable at shooting on the left as well, which is good. I've sort of referred to that before, but no, I was really impressed with her performance, and I have been for the majority of the games this season.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have her ahead of Wrighton right now on form. And then I suppose, you know, people don't see them in the list. They think you don't rate the player or didn't rate the performance. Just not the case. But there's a case to be made, I suppose, for every player on Friday night, because the whole team, you know, really stood up and delivered the manager's game plan, and they was up for this match. You could tell, you know, when Neve went off, she was on the bench, up screaming at the players, you know, getting support for them.
Yeah,
Millie as well on the sideline, Emma on the sideline. You know, they wanted to win this game, and you know, credit to them, they did.
Yeah, every player clearly struck to whatever instruction it was given. Even like someone like Wrighton, I think her attacking side of her game has just dropped off a little bit. Her overall display tactically was immense. She did such a good job up and down that flank, helping Neve Charles and supporting the rest of her team. And it's I know, even like going back from 1 to 11, starting with a goalkeeper, it feels like I want to have like a 5-minute Hannah Hampton just loving every show, because, wow. Listen, we can all get carried away. You know, I remember seeing Morata in his first 8 games for Chelsea thinking, and I got sucked into someone saying he was the second coming of Peter Osgood, just for the way he run with the ball straight back. So you can, I understand, I watch football enough times of it, you know, it can all change. But what we're seeing at the moment is amazing from her confidence, the arrogance, ignorance of her as well. You know, she's got a lot to say for herself, which I like. You know, as soon as Arsenal scored, she weren't giving that ball back. She booted it into the crowd, and it was like, and what? You know, no one's really going to say anything to me. I think she can stick up for herself. But overall, it's so impressive, isn't it? The ball control, the crossing, the shot stopping, the organising. It must be so confident to have a goalkeeper like that behind you as a defender. I can only imagine what she'd be like in the men's team. They might make our defenders look a hell of a lot better because they look as nervous as anything. And then, as we've mentioned, Metz and Perez, even Neve Charles again, you know, a proper first full season playing as, you know, as a left back. Buchanan coming back, we mentioned. Carter as well. You know, Nuskin, you know, I think we've praised them all at some point in this show. And, you know, good for them. You know, it's one thing telling them what you expect from them and going working all week on a tactic, but for them to then go in and do it and stick to it and absolutely perform it to their high standards is amazing. And yeah, maybe in a game like that, you could have just done team, man of the match and coaching, you know, everything, fans. It was a good all round collective performance from everyone, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Simon, you can tell when everyone plays well when the manager doesn't make many subs, and you know, Neve was injured, that's why she come off, and then Lauren had just, you know, sort of had those minutes. I don't think she could give much more to the team at that point, and Macario comes on, you know, everyone else sort of stays on the bench and that team sees the game out. I mean, we've mentioned the atmosphere and that already, but you know, for me, the best Stamford Bridge game yet.
It was, yeah. You said that obviously the Man United one was good, but yeah, just fantastic, everything about it. It's something special about the bridge as well, under the lights. Always makes things a little bit more exciting and tingly when you're walking along and you see the crowd building up and it's night, you've got the lights shining down. Yeah, a really, really, really good night.
Yeah, I think as soon as it's past your bedtime, you get a bit excited. I do. Rich, I suppose the last thing we want, sort of just because the Company Cup final is obviously coming up in 2 weeks. Advantage Chelsea?
Yeah, there's stuff for Arsenal to definitely work on over, you know, when they decide to prepare for this particular game. Of course, they're not playing in midweek, are they? Yeah. But you know, we've got obviously a league game next week, and then I think they'll have a full week for their league, you know, for the League Cup final to, you know, to work on stuff. But definitely at the moment, with the game 2 weeks away, and hopefully we'll be getting some players back. Hopefully Ramirez and Bjorn are back in time. I think Emma said after the game it's going to be sort of maybe 1-2 weeks for the pair of them. And, you know, if we get those, you know, we get those two players back, then we get, you know, a little bit more bolstered at centre-back and up front, which is obviously where we really need to at the moment. Yeah, definitely at the moment, we've got, you know, we should have the mental advantage after that performance on Friday, because before every single player of ours played well, even, you know, Guru's not really sort of had some great form of late. Like even sort of during, you know, a lot during the season, that, you know, it's obviously been down on what last season was or should have been the player of the season award. But she was better on Friday, I think, as well. We can sort of go back to it was a there was a chance I think that she created where she spun Emily Fox, who was obviously she's coming to the WSL and she's. I think she's played pretty well for Arsenal, and you know she beat her pretty easily, put in a cross, and I think JRK had a shot on target, which was saved well for Zinsberg. I mean, to be honest, I think Zinsberg, you know, apart from the first goal, I think she was probably their best player. I know her rating on, you know, some of the score apps is pretty low, but I think she stopped. I think she saved them from it being a 6-7, you know, 6-7 goal drubbing. And yeah, it's something, you know, they've, you know, 2 weeks to go. They've not got a lot of time to work on it. But yeah, at the moment, I'd say it is, you know, mentally advantage, the mental advantage goes to us.
Yeah, I think especially if we've just gone through to the semi-finals of the Champions League in midweek before the final, we'll go there with a pep in our step, even if we've not got the time on the training ground. I don't think we really need it, to be honest, in that sense, unless he brings out some different kind of cards. We're going to wonder what he's doing. Let me run through the plan of the match, actual poll, because I didn't do that. So obviously we know who was on it. If I can unlock my phone. There we go. So Khadija Buchanan just got 3% of the vote. Aaron Cuppett with 6. Lauren James with 33. And Yves Perrottet, the winner, with 58% of the vote. So you know, a well-deserved win. Perrottet, and I know I did well because Sophie messaged me on Instagram and said it was my pick, and she always picks someone different. So had to be even, it was, even though she didn't score a goal, which I know some people do like. Right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to do the quickest preview of Ajax ever, because it is late, way past my bedtime. Before we do that, a reminder that issue 10 of Kings Meadow Chronicle is available to purchase online. Thanks to those that bought one at the game on Friday. It's reduced online to £1, so you just pay the £2. You would do it in person if you're in the UK. The link for that is kingsmeadowchronicle.bigcartel.com. Alternatively, you can get a subscription still, and I'll send you out all the old copies I've got to get them out of the cupboard and make room for issue 11, which will be out for our April fixtures. The link for that in the description box, and we'll be right back.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft, inconsolable.
The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live... It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great! I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry.
Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
After this. Welcome back to Wetzel Moe Kings Meadow. Time then for a Champions League preview. The only Champions League preview you'll get in England this week is on a Chelsea women's podcast, thankfully. No other club, Arsenal or Man City. Or Man United, of course, gracing Europe with their presence this season. but Ajax, Dane, you know, obviously an historical name in European football, probably not so much in the women's game, but... someone we need to respect. You know, they finished second in the group with PSG, Bayern Munich and Roma, all three teams, you know, pretty well respected, and they finished second amongst them. So it's going to be a tough game for us away in Amsterdam.
Yeah, yes, and no doubt Emma will be drilling that into the players over the next few days. Can't take these games lightly. You get to a certain stage of a tournament because you deserve to be there. Just like if you win the league at the end of the season, you know, anyone can talk what they want, you know. Yeah, the table doesn't lie. It will be, after such a big game against Arsenal, you could be on a high, and Emma did say, you know, if you're winning, then you don't really get tired, even though you clearly would, but I can just see her going with the same. I wouldn't take any risks with resting players. I would just go with almost a similar team to Arsenal. Do we have anyone back who's going to make it from that squad or no? Is it?
I
don't know, maybe a Fran in there just to give. I know Fran's not been at her best recently, but you know, if the nucleus is there, then maybe you can like, you know, save one or two if needed, but not too much. I'd go with an 85% full strength team, best full strength team you can actually play, I think.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna come to Rich because this is the research I've done on Ajax. They're second in the Eredivisie. They played 17, won 13, drawn 3, and lost 1. They're on 42 points. They're behind the on-loan Wiki captains FC Twente, who won 16 and 17. They did beat them 3-0 recently. They're unbeaten in their last 5. They've won all of those games. I looked through their player list on Wikipedia and didn't really recognise anyone. And if you could tell us about Ajax, Rich.
So I am aware of the centre forward, Romy Leuchter. I did do a little bit. She's the one that I have definitely heard of. And I know Spitzer, who's obviously been a long time player for the Netherlands international, she plays for Ajax. And I only know that because of Ultimate Team. I've packed her so many times. Anyway, but Leuchter, definitely a dangerous goal scoring threat. I think I did do some little bit of research on FB Ref, and she scored 17 goals in 20 games this season, scored twice in the Champions League. Ajax won all 3 of their home games in that group of death, and it was a group of death because all the 3 opponents they had all made the Champions League quarterfinals last season. So they're obviously very good side at home, and all of those games were played at the Johan Cruyff Arena. In terms of the rest of it, I haven't watched a lot of Ajax. It would only be sort of the highlights of those Champions League group games I would have watched. But I'm going to assume, because it's Ajax, they're going to play the Rinus Michels, Johan Cruyff blueprint 4-3-3. They're going to like to have the ball, you know, possess the ball. It might play into our hands that that's the way that they play. This is obviously all assumptive. But Ajax and Barcelona, they tend to have the same blueprint as each other, just because, you know, the two clubs are linked like that. I'm aware that they've sold 30,000 tickets for the game, at least. I think they announced that a couple of weeks ago, the 30,000 figure. So obviously they're going to get, you know, a big crowd in for it into that stadium. I think they only got 1 point in away. So if we can get something where it's a draw, you know, or maybe sort of a narrow win on Tuesday, then I'll be sort of happy with that going back to the bridge for the second leg. Because, yeah, I think they only got 1 draw away and they lost the other 2 games in the group.
Yeah, would you concur with that, Simon? You know, a point is a good enough result in the first leg away from home?
I think so, yeah. It benefits us, doesn't it, having the second leg at home. Hopefully another big crowd. And yeah, I'd settle for that. Draw away and then a win. Doesn't matter. Big win, little win, a win.
Little win.
I mean, we've been pretty good away from home, Dane, in Europe especially. I think it suits us, you know, if Ajax want to have the ball, we'll let them have it. And break forward as we did, you know, with the likes of Cameron. And maybe there's a shout for Aggie to play in this game for that pace on the other side as well.
Yeah, good point. Very good point. You could almost play the same sort of style we did against Arsenal. We was really good at preserving energy. Maybe that's what blew Arsenal out, because I said they was going from defence to midfield and they sort of like run out of ideas and sort of we almost hit with a wall, wasn't it? The Chelsea wall. That's a good idea with Beaver Jones playing maybe on the counter-attack. And Caterina's probably still a long way off starting. I know Emma teased it a few games back, but I think she's a long way off. That could be the two players, because you've got to. And with Lauren, you know, you have her on the bench. I think seeing that she's our main sort of a central, to an extent, attacking threat at the moment, I wouldn't play around with her too much. And, you know, Aggie is more than capable of coming in. She's proved this season she's really within the group now, isn't she? And she can hold her head high amongst us, and we expect a performance from her. That's how good she's been. So I'll be quite happy to see her play, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, Rich, I think it's, we're looking at the same back five as we saw against Arsenal. Obviously, the only question mark will be Neve Charles if she is fit from the injury. She looked it on the bench. She looked all right, jumping up and down. But if not, you just slot Lawrence into left back. So I think we're pretty set defensively in that sense, aren't we?
Yeah, I think you could either do that or, you know, actually, I was thinking about you could even play Perisay's played at left back before, but I think you'd probably want to keep Perisay on the right side given how well she's played there. Yeah, I think we need to go as close to the team that we played on Friday as possible, because, you know, that really worked well together. In my opinion, that was our best performance of the season on Friday. And I think it was sort of a few weeks ago, I was questioning the balance in the team, especially after the Manchester City defeat. But it seems like we might have found something where, you know, we look solid defensively, but then we're also getting enough good chances, and, you know, we're putting them away as well, those good chances. I think it's pretty easy. You go to as much as close to that as possible, especially when, you know, we're playing on Tuesday and then the next league game's on Sunday afternoon away at West Ham. So, you know, there's a little bit of gap between the first leg and that next WSL game. So you, plenty of time to recover. But yeah, I think we should go as close to that as possible.
Yeah, and that sort of the extra 48 hours, Simon, I've been played the Friday night, I suppose, is going to help us do that, because those players have got that extra time to refresh over the weekend, back into training probably Sunday or if not tomorrow, if they've been off today as well.
Yeah, hopefully. I think they tend to play better as well when they've got Wednesday, Sunday, Tuesday, Friday, whatever the case is. I think, like you, as Dane said earlier on, wasn't it, about winning? And then, you know, that tiredness doesn't exist when they're winning. Agree with what Rich said as well about the team. I'd put Lawrence in, and I did put Ingle in at first, but yeah, loopholes as well. Just keep the same team, keep that momentum going.
Yeah, the WSL game's only West Ham under Rian Skinner. So, you know,
easy pickings.
Could rest a couple of players, play with nine on that game, ready for the second leg, still win. Dana, I've gone with the same team as Arsenal, apart from one. I put Beaver Jones in for Brighton in my 11. Lawrence, if Charles is injured. Part of me thinks that Brighton will play anyway. Just, you know, Emma, she's one of the trusted sort of senior players in the team. I think she'll still come in, but, you know, I would like to see Aggie on that left-hand side and just use that pace and match it on the right with Camrid. What's your thoughts? I can't hear you at all. You're not on mute.
Sorry. I said I initially thought of Fran, but yeah, I completely agree and I've changed and I'm on the Aggie Beavers train for that game as well. And yeah, if, you know, if we don't know how bad Neve is, maybe it would be a good time to give her a rest. As I said, I'd only want to rest about two of them, given the chance. And Neve has played a lot of football this year. Her fitness-wise, she's been immense for us. So, you know, would that mean putting Perisay over on the left and Lawrence on the right? I'd be more than happy with that.
Yeah, Rich, are you all aboard the Aggie Beaver Jones train?
Yeah, I can certainly see sort of a role for in this game because, as I sort of mentioned, you know, with what I imagine Ajax's style is, because, I mean, they play the same style throughout all of their youth teams, and I imagine it's the same boys and girls. It's all 4-3-3. They all want to be on the ball. They all want to be sort of attacking. And, you know, Aggie's a perfect player, you know, to just clip in a ball in behind and let her run onto it. So I could definitely see her, you know, if it is one or two changes, you could definitely see make the argument that she'd be one of those players. I think I'm still going to stick with Guru for now. Just, I guess, more because of the European factor. You know, it's a European knockout away game. But I can certainly see a point in the game where she'll come on.
Yeah, well, we will find out. What time's kickoff? Is it an early one on
Tuesday? 7:15 local time, so 5:45 over here.
Yeah, early kickoff for us on Tuesday night. So as you're finishing work or on your way home from work, you'll find out what Emma has done for this game. We'll get a quick prediction before we go. I know it's been a pretty quick preview, but I only watch Chelsea, so I can't tell you nothing about Ajax. And I think we're pretty set in what we're doing right now. I'm going to go for a 1-0 away win for Chelsea, just because we're going to win. Simon, what about you?
Okay, 1-1.
1-1. Rich.
I was also going to say, hey, per sock in it.
There you go.
We need the sock jokes. I also thought 1-0. I think, you know, 1-0, maybe 2-0.
So I'm going to give you 2 because that's the rules of the game. The score's gone. And Dane, obviously,
lost.
At the end. Say the best.
You never give me much option because you lot always pick all the good ones. So I'll have to maybe go for a 3. 3-1, possibly.
3-1. There you go. Well, you don't get nothing for getting it right. So
yeah, exactly. But you just like to punish me by putting me. I can see you like laughing through your eyes.
When people get your prediction and you like throw your hands up in the air, it makes me smile. what it's all about. Johnny Super Fran going for 2-0 Chelsea, and he'll be there over in Amsterdam. Lay off the brownies, my advice. And avoid the red lights. They're not all traffic lights. Not being myself. But there we go. That is all we're going to have time for this week. My thanks to Mr. Dane Will. Dane, good to see you again. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, really enjoyed it tonight. Yeah, it was a late one. It was funny doing it on a Sunday night, but obviously off the back of that victory on Friday. It was an easy show to do. Nice company as well, as per usual. I'm enjoying just not seeing your face so much. All I need is like just me and you, so it's nice to see the other guys.
We've got all week till Friday without me now, because we're playing on Tuesday. That's why we're giving up our Sunday night for it. Simon, thanks to you as well. I know you're big shift tomorrow, delivering the papers and the post out. News of Chelsea's win to all the people across the land. But thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good to be on again. Good to see the other boys as well. And yeah, fantastic night to talk about as well.
Yeah, and Rich, you were my player of the match definitely on Friday, Rich. Seeing you in the Matthew Lower there, giving it all guns blazing. I did enjoy that. It was a treat. And thanks for giving up your evening, especially after being at the men's game today as well. Double duty for you.
I'd have to say the crowd were really good on Friday. That's the other thing to sort of add in. I did sort of ask for it, you know, for people who weren't listening to the pod to come up and, make a load of noise. And I think they did. Sort of credit to all the fans that came to the game. And, you know, the next time we play, you know, a European game, it will be a European game on not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday at home to Ajax. You know, hopefully we get the numbers in and hopefully we make equally as a bigger racket. Happy to be on the show again. Late one on Sunday. I actually work in a SOC, that Security Operations Centre. So, you know, that's what I've got to go into tomorrow. Tomorrow morning. So the sock jokes, they're not going to stop.
Yeah, busman's holiday for you on Friday night then. There we go. We'll be back next Friday to look back at the Ajax match on Tuesday, and then obviously look ahead to the West Ham game. With who, I can't tell you. It'll be me and Dane, I think, and at least 2 other people, hopefully. I need to let people know that, to be honest. You'll find out when I find out. Now, if you have enjoyed the show, make sure to sign up to our Patreon. Patreon helps us fund the show, so pay for things like Mixlr, the Zoom, the editing software, stuff like that. And any extra money goes towards future ballers, which we do in the summer. It's just £5 a month, so the price of an expensive copy or a cheap beer can help support the show, do the stuff we do. So if you do enjoy what we do, please consider signing up for that. It's patreon.com/wenttomokingsmeadow for that. Now you can follow the show on social media at wenttomokingsmeadow on Instagram or at mokingsmeadow on Twitter. I'm at dmears, Dane is at dwit9, Simon's at Kingman Simon, and Rich is at Bates in the Place. And I think that's everything all. I haven't written this bit down, so I'm down the top of my head. I think that's it. Yeah. So thanks for listening. Until next time, from Stamford Bridge to Wembley, keep the blue flag flying high.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.